Things may be better in Europe than we thought.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From 8 p.m. in New York, good morning. I'm Mark Garrison in for David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. New numbers out this morning show business picking up in Europe. A key economic growth survey there beat expectations. Markets there are open and loving this news. More on that when we do the numbers. First, BBC economics correspondent Andrew Walker joins us from London to update us on how Europe is doing. Hello, Andrew.
Hello, Mark.
So these numbers, the highest we've seen from Europe in 2 years. What's going right over there?
Slowly, the Eurozone is repairing the economic damage, I think, is the answer. And we are seeing the slow effects of the commitment made by the European Central Bank more than a year ago to, as Mario Draghi, the bank's president, said, do what it takes to preserve the Eurozone. That has swept away a lot of the most extreme anxieties that were around in financial markets and the Eurozone economy more widely. And gradually, it's beginning to inject a bit of confidence and a bit of activity back into the business community. But it's slow. What these figures are pointing to is continued recovery, but still not particularly strong.
And France is a key weak spot in these numbers. What's happening there?
That is really striking. When we had the economic growth figures for the second quarter of the year, France was actually a positive surprise with an expansion of 0.5%. These figures look a little bit more consistent with what people thought, that France is certainly better than it was in the real doldrums earlier this year, but certainly not growing all that strongly. And these figures do indeed suggest that there is more work to be done to get the French economy growing decisively once again.
Okay, the BBC's Andrew Walker in London. Thanks very much.
My pleasure, Mark.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up in global trading in Europe. They're reacting to the strong numbers we talked about a moment ago with Andrew. Germany is up about 1.1%. Stocks in France around 1%. Asian markets largely closed down today. Hormel Foods, maker of Spam and other meat-inspired food-like products, is reporting weaker than expected earnings this morning. Yesterday on Wall Street, the S&P dropped 0.6%. The Dow lost 0.7%, closing at 14,897. Mexico's president is making big moves to end the decades-long monopoly of its state oil company, Pemex. This has major energy implications on both sides of the border. That's the topic for today's conversation with our friends at Univision. Stephen Keppel covers economics there and joins us from Miami. Hello, Stephen.
Hey, Mark. How's it going?
Good. So this could potentially be one of the biggest economic developments between the U.S. and Mexico since NAFTA back in the 90s. How could this all impact energy prices in America if this goes through?
Yes, this is definitely a big deal for Mexico. You know, they're sitting on huge reserves of oil and gas, but they're just not able to produce it. You know, Pemex, the national company, is old and inefficient and poorly run, and some private investment and foreign expertise will help them out. What will this mean for the U.S.? I mean, I think combined, it's going to make North America a real energy powerhouse, you know, rivaling Saudi Arabia. You know, it'll be cheaper to transport oil and gas to companies in the U.S. I think globally, you know, we might see a reduction of prices, and it'll give, you know, North America, U.S., Canada, Mexico more independence when concerning energy issues.
Now, this is not a done deal. The government oil monopoly in Mexico, very large, very powerful. How likely is it that the president will be able to get his way on making this kind of historic change?
That's really an interesting point of all of this. This would be a historic change. They've got to change the constitution. But it seems likely that it's going to happen. You know, there's going to be some protests from some of the leftist groups and some unions. But the majority of Mexicans seem to be in favor of this really big reform. And I think that says a lot about the Mexican government and the Mexican people. You know, they're really ready to move forward.
So you think Mexico's lawmakers will make this happen? In the U.S., though, lately our Congress doesn't have a very sparkling record as far as getting big things done. You seem to be saying Mexico's politics are working in a way America's aren't.
Well, don't get me wrong. The Mexican government has loads of issues with inefficiency and corruption. But recently, under the new president, there's been a huge reform drive. They've made reforms to education, to telecoms, and it seems like things are getting done. A lot of people were skeptical, but the parties are working together. They're moving things through Congress. And when you compare it to the United States, it's a big contrast, and it's kind of surprising. You know, like I said, a lot of people look at the Mexican government and see, obviously, the problems with corruption and inefficiency. But, hey, they're making some things happen, and you got to give some credit to them.
Okay, Stephen Keppel at Univision. Thanks so much.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
In Detroit, they're pushing through mountains of paperwork for the city's bankruptcy proceedings. The money problems that led the city to file bankruptcy create a whole different problem, crushing bills from its bankruptcy lawyers and advisors. Top-flight legal and financial firms have managed to make an awful lot of money from companies and governments that are underwater. Anne Hepperman reports.
Going broke isn't cheap. Take Lehman Brothers. Their bankruptcy fees topped $2 billion, so yeah.
It can get very expensive.
David Skeel is a bankruptcy expert. He says plenty of bankruptcies cost millions of dollars. One reason? No one wants to speak up.
Nobody that's actually in the case wants to rat on somebody else and say, your fees are way too high.
Skeel says more companies have decided to fold rather than deal with bankruptcy costs. There's also more oversight. This summer, the Department of Justice updated their guidelines to make bankruptcy fees more transparent. Nancy Rappaport has been a fee examiner.
I'll call up the professional, say, tell me why you made this choice. Sometimes it's a great choice. Sometimes we talk about a reduction in fees.
Rappaport's seen stacks of fees taller than she is, and she's 5'2". She says oversight is essential.
If reasonable fees aren't being charged, then there is something wrong with the system.
Companies and now cities need clear eyes to see if bankruptcy is their best financial hope. In New York, I'm Ann Hepperman for Marketplace.
You can find us anytime until the end of time at marketplace.org for more stories, and you can have your say there as well. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.